Support for Artscape comes from Seattle Divorce Services, a law firm with a mission to improve the way divorce law is practiced in the community. The attorneys at Seattle Divorce Services help clients in conflict meet their immediate needs and achieve future security. Information at SeattleDivorceServices.com.
Steve Manis has written about personal technology for several national publications. He co-authored a book about Bill Gates in 1992. But this new book is his first piece of arts writing. Is it true you couldn't find any books that gave you a total picture about ballet?
One of the things about ballet is it's basically not written down. It's handed down. If you're going to do an old ballet, it's handed down through the minds and bodies of people who used to do it. And one of the ballets they were doing that year was George Balanchine's Prodigal Son, which is from the 20s. It was one of his earliest successes. This is the great master. And I was in the studio watching them rehearse the end of that ballet. And at the end of that ballet, the prodigal son has been beaten. He's just about defeated, and he drags himself home across the stage and goes into the arms of his father, who takes him back. I watched Peter Bowl be the father as he's teaching James Moore, who then was a member of the Corps, and it was incredibly moving. It always is, but this was even more moving because Peter Bowl learned that part from Edward Villella and Jerome Robbins, who learned it from Balanchine. So we're just three steps away. It's just a chill goes up your spine that it all came down, just handed down by teaching.
How much did you know about ballet before you started writing this book?
I knew darn near nothing. I'm not trained. I'm the world's worst dancer. I said to my wife, the two favorite things that I like to watch are ballet and baseball. Ballet, it turns out, has a lot in common with baseball. If you look, the career paths are similar. People start at, say, 18, and they've been training since they were little kids. And then they're done in their 40s, and maybe even before.
You hang out with the dancers and the wardrobe people and Peter Bowl as he's trying to figure out his budget. So what stood out to you about the finances?
Well, the one that shocks everybody is the pointe shoe budget, $200,000 a year. That's a lot of shoes.
There's a story about where the book's title comes from, about ballerinas being very unladylike.
Yeah, where Snowflakes Dance and Swear came from a moment I was standing in the wings at the Nutcracker, and they do the snowflake scene, and the dancing snowflakes are dancing under snow, which is actually fireproof confetti. And one of the dancers got some of the confetti on her tongue, and then the second she came through the wings, she uttered a word I can't say on the radio.
Is there more swearing or more crying that happens?
There's occasional crying, but there is a lot of swearing. What I wanted to show is it isn't perfect. It's not all snowflake land out there in what they do. It is hard work that makes you swear. There's a lot of swearing in the studio.
Frustration, again, because it is, for the dancers especially, it really is all about trying to do something perfect.
Yeah, the pursuit of perfection, and they know they never get there, is what dancers are all about. And the intensity and focus are like nothing you've ever seen.
Which means dancing through a lot of pain.
I asked Boyd Bender, who's the physical therapist, what percentage of the time are these people playing hurt, as you'd say in a sport? And the answer was 100% of the time. Carla Corbis, who had been fighting an injury a week or so before the performance, she had to bow out, and they had only one other dancer who had been trained for it, Noelani Pantastico, and she ended up doing 9 or 10 in 2 weeks. It was remarkable, and she was hurting.
So that was the drama going on behind Romeo and Juliet in 2008, the new version that Peter Bowl was bringing in, replacing the old. And it was kind of a risky move for a man who was trying to really make his mark on the company.
There were a lot of subscribers who wanted to see the old version. They didn't like it. And this was also a very kind of slick Euro version. It's very streamlined. One of the things the stagers had to worry about, and the choreographer, was getting people to be less ballet-like. Dancers love turnout, and this was all about not turning their legs out. A week before that thing was going on the stage, the dancers were calling it cursed. They hadn't learned all of it. And then all of a sudden the choreographer comes in and it's as though somebody sprinkled fairy dust on everybody. 2 days later, it's a different piece.
Steve Manis is the author of Where Snowflakes Dance and Swear, Inside the Land of Ballet. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you.